And so tonight, what I'm going to be sharing, it's been a while since I've been on. I think it was October, because we went to India in November.
It has went by fast.
Yeah, it's gone by fast. It's really the time seems to be speeding up. Amen. And so we need to be busy about the work of the Lord. Amen. And so I had started a series that we use this series in Russia. It's called Discipleship Evangelism. And basically what it is you're evangelizing through discipling people. You know, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 28, he said, go and teach all nations. He didn't say just go and get people to say a prayer and leave them. He said, teach them. Teach them all things that I've taught you. I've commanded you. Teach them the same stuff. You know, Jesus wants us to make disciples. And a disciple is someone who can do and produce the same things as Jesus. That is what Jesus said. Amen. Jesus told us, if you believe in me, the same works I did, you'll do also, and even greater works. Amen. You know, and so that is what it's all about. So we are actually in the 12th lesson, I think it is. Yes, we are in the 12th lesson. Discipleship Evangelism series. It's on our website as well. The past broadcasts are also on our website. I know you also have them there on your website, Shannon. But on our website, we have the PDF download of this manual that you can go through and follow through if you want to. It's very good. We've used this in Venezuela. We've used this in Russia. We use this in South Africa. And it really helps to give people a real good foundation of many truths that are contained in the Word. What it does is it gives people a taste and they want more. Amen. And so we are in the 12th lesson of level one. Each level has 16 lessons and there's three levels. I don't know if we're going to do every single lesson on this broadcast, but we're certainly going to finish level one. And the last time we talked about the benefits of tongues, speaking in tongues. And tonight we're in lesson 12, which is Identity in Christ, part one. And so I'll be teaching this week and also the next time that I come on. And so we're talking about identity in Christ. Okay. This is so very important that people understand that when you come to Jesus, you no longer have the same identity. The problem is that most of us continue with the same identity that we've always had. We still think the same way. We still feel the same way. We still process information the same way. We still try to solve problems the same way. We still try to do all sorts of different things. The only thing that a lot of believers think changed is that now they go to church on Sunday. At least hopefully a lot of people do still go to church on Sunday. Amen. Or whenever you go to church, whatever day, you know, you can go to church every day. If there's a church that's good and they're having services, you don't have to wait until one day. Amen. Every day with Jesus. You know, God has something for us every single day. Amen. And so what we're going to be talking about today and next week is our identity in Christ. Okay. We need to understand quite a few things. Okay. How our lives progress as believers is directly linked to what we choose to think upon. I can go to many different verses, but I'm not going to do that. You know, the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, Romans 8:6, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the thing that we have to recognize is that when the Apostle Paul talked about the spirit, a Christian who's spiritual, being spiritually minded, he wasn't talking about stuff you do, okay? In other words, you pray a lot, you read the Bible a lot, okay? A lot of people, that's what they think, that's what they think of when they think of a spiritual Christian. What Paul meant when he said spiritual Christian was someone who lives based on the Spirit of God. That's what he was talking about. The Spirit of God, you know, Paul said, I didn't come to you with just words. I came to you with demonstration with the Spirit of God and power. You see, when Paul said a person who walks in victory is someone who's spiritually minded, he was talking about someone who relies upon and identifies and keeps their mind on the Spirit of God. In other words, recognizes what God has done on the inside of them, and they live based out of what Christ has done for them, not living out of all the things that they're trying to do for Christ. Let me just tell you, you're going to do a whole lot for Jesus, but let me just continue here Okay, because it's very important, because how we consistently see ourselves, that determines the outcome of our lives. Okay, a lot of times we don't think about this, but your life right now is directly correlated to what you think about on a consistent basis. Consistent, I said. I didn't say every now and then. I didn't say during church. I said consistently. What is your most dominant system of thought? For a lot of people, it's fear. A lot of people, it's feelings of failure. Lots of people thinking about everything. They think more about how inadequate they are than how adequate Christ is. Okay? We do not need to have a positive self-image. It drives me absolutely nuts when I hear preachers talk about believing in yourself. Folks, let me tell you something. I'm not saying we need to hate ourselves and loathe ourselves and all those types of things. What I am saying is you don't need to feel good about yourself. You need to feel good about Jesus. Okay? Jesus, if you keep your mind on Jesus, you won't have time to keep your mind on yourself. To keep your mind on yourself shows you're thinking about self more than Jesus. I'm telling you, if you would keep your mind on Jesus and what he's done, if you would keep your mind on Jesus and who he is, all of who he is, all of the characteristics, all of the attributes, all of the qualities of who Christ is, and he now lives on the inside of you if you're a born-again believer. If you were to keep your mind on that, I'm telling you, your life would be totally, radically different. The reason why most of our lives are falling apart is because we're too aware and too consumed with self, you know, self-centeredness, folks. You know, self-centeredness is not just thinking highly about yourself. Pride is not just thinking highly about yourself. It's also thinking less of yourself than what Christ said. You know, a lot of people think that Christ just kind of puts up with them, that Jesus kind of just, well, I really didn't want to save you, but I guess so. You said the prayer. I guess I have to. No, it's not the way Jesus ever thinks, okay? So we don't need to have a positive self-image. We need to have a positive Christ image in order to walk in victory, to walk in freedom, okay? We don't need to have a great self-esteem. We need to have a great Christ esteem. Now, again, I'm not saying that you hate yourself. It's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, if we are to think of ourselves, we're going to fail. If we are to think of ourselves, if we're honest with ourselves as to why we can do what God says we can do, well, none of us would be able to do what God says we can do if it's based on self. But if we keep our mind on Christ and he said, I said, go. We said, well, man, he said to go. He didn't say if you're perfect. He didn't say if you feel awesome about yourself, go. He said, no, go. Go. And lay hands on the sick. Go and preach the gospel. And so if we would just keep our minds on Christ, if we would just see ourselves based on what Christ has done for us and in us, then what has been done to us or how we view ourselves, that will stop limiting our future. You know, so many people, their future is limited. And let me tell you, I could give you testimonies about myself, about not wanting to go and minister because I felt inadequate. Not wanting to go and pray for people because I felt, well, I haven't been reading the Bible enough. I wasn't out living in adultery and going out getting drunk and all those other things that people look to as to what they think will disqualify them from God being able to use them. I just wasn't reading the Bible as much as I thought. Let me tell you, if you're basing what Christ can do in your life based on what you do, it'll never be enough. If you read the Bible 20 hours, the devil and your flesh will condemn you. Well, hey, there's 24 hours in the day. You missed 4 hours. I'm telling you, folks, if you're looking to self at all, you will always fail. But if you're looking to Jesus, you will always succeed. And there's a quick testimony I'll have to give because I really need to get into this. But one time it was time for me to pray for people after the service. I was not ministering. It was when I was in Bible school. And I just felt like, man, I can't do that. I haven't been praying as much as I think I should. I've been busy working. I haven't been reading the Bible as much as I think I should. And I was praying and I was reading the Bible. But listen, it wasn't like as much as I think that I should do it. And when it came time for praying for people, I didn't do it. I ran off to the prayer table, to the book table, and started helping there and pretending I was going to serve there. And God just really started to speak to me that night and the next day. Why are you looking to self? Why are you thinking that I will flow through you because you are so holy and you are so good? You know, I don't have time to go there, but in Acts chapter 3, Peter said, Why do you look at us as though by our own godliness or power we made this man walk? You remember the man who was laid at the temple there at the gate, beautiful? He was lame of his mother's womb, and Peter said, look at us. And he said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have we'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And everyone was amazed that they could do this. And then Peter in Acts 3:12 said, why do you look at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? And then he went on to say, but it was only because of Jesus and faith in Jesus and faith in that name that has made this man whole. And so God started to reveal to me that I was looking to self. I was being self-centered. I was being selfish. I was being prideful. What? You were thinking badly about yourself. Folks, pride is simply being self-absorbed. You don't have to think you're awesome. You can also think you're horrible. If you think that you are too bad for God to love and God to flow through, you're a prideful person. I don't say that being mean. It's just that you need to understand that God does not flow through you because you're good. He flows through you because he's good. And the only thing stopping God from flowing in your life and flowing through your life is the way you think. You are focused on self instead of being focused on Jesus. Amen. And so I remember he started to share with me, you are trusting in yourself. You're not trusting in me. Get your eyes on me. And so I started to meditate on that. And I remembered Acts chapter 3 and verse 12. And I said, God, you're right. Forgive me for looking to self and thinking that somehow you'll flow through me because I'm good. It's only because of your good. And so, you know, the truth is God's only had one person in the history of the world that was ever good enough for him to use, and that was Jesus. And guess what? God will never use us because we're good enough. He uses us because he's good, and we have our faith and trust in him. Amen. So the next night when it came time for praying for people, I ran to the forward to go pray for people, and I saw a great result, saw people healed and all sorts of things. So the only difference was what I was looking to. The second night, I had a positive Christ image instead of a negative self image. Amen. We need to have a positive Christ image to walk in victory. Okay. So we need to choose who we identify with, and who we identify with either releases God's victory or our defeat. And there's a lot of verses I can go to, but we really need to move on. So what I want to do is ask this question right now. Okay. How do we identify with what Christ has done in us? Well, we do it with a proper foundation of what takes place when a person receives Jesus. In other words, when you get born again. This is so very important, folks, that so many in the church do not teach this. A lot of people do not understand this. And for some people, because it's different than what a lot of people have been taught and believe, sometimes people just reject it without even listening to it. So I would ask you just to listen to me tonight and the next time I teach. And I'm telling you, people who grab a hold of this, they get set free, and they start seeing more results than they ever saw before. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 23, okay? And it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What I want you to see here, that the Bible is clear right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, that we are a spirit, we are a soul, and we're a body. In other words, we are a three-part being, okay? I know a lot of people say, no, we're only two-part being. The spirit and the soul are the same. It's interchangeable. Well, not according to the Word of God. It says right here that we are a spirit, soul, and body. In other words, we're a trinity, just like God's a trinity, okay? The spirit of us is where God lives if you're born again. The soulish part of us is our mind, our will, our intellect, our emotions, those types of things. And our body, well, we know what the body is. It's our physical part, the part that each of us see every day when we look in the mirror. Amen. And so we're going to look at this tonight, and we really need to see this, okay? Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because we have to understand what took place when we got born again. I'm telling you, folks, a whole lot more took place when we truly received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior than most of us realize. Most people are just waiting to die in order to walk in everything that God has for them. Folks, that is not what God intended for us. Jesus would have been wrong to tell us the things he told us if we're only waiting to die before things get better. And I'm not talking about in this world and that you'll never have any trouble. I'm talking about in your relationship with God. I'm talking about in being able to fulfill Mark chapter 16. Amen. I'm talking about doing the same works that the apostles did and the disciples did in the book of Acts. Okay? We're not just hanging on until we go to be with Jesus. There's not a verse in Scripture that says, hang on, you're just going to barely make it. Hang on. No. It tells us to occupy till he comes. Amen? That doesn't seem like we're hanging on. Occupy until he comes sounds to me like we're seeing some victory over the devil and we're spreading the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, Shannon. That's the way it sounds to me. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Yes, I'm in Christ. Are you in Christ? If you said yes, this verse is talking about you. If you're not in Christ, well, it's not talking about you, but if you want to be in Christ, this will be what's true about you. So in verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want you to notice that. This says that old things have passed away. All things have become new. It says if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Okay? When you go to the Greek, it's talking about a being that did not exist before. Okay? When the Bible says you're a new creation, something took place and you received a created part of you that did not exist before. Okay? Now we're going to see what part was this. Okay? We just saw in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we're spirit, soul, and body. Okay? So what part of us became new? Okay, we need to see that, because if you don't understand this, you'll go and you look in the mirror and you'll say, well, I look the same. If you're overweight, you'll still be overweight, right? If you're not too smart, if you do some things, you know, you may still not be too smart in the natural realm, but I'm telling you what, if you get in the Word of God, you'll get wisdom. Amen. So we're going to see what part of us became new and what part of us is 2 Corinthians 5:17 talking about when it says we're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not will become new. Not will pass away. It says have passed away and have become new. Do you believe the Bible or do you not believe the Bible? Well, I believe the Bible. So let's look at this. Let's look at the body. Has our body become new? Well, you know, I don't have to go into this in detail. Most of us can look in the mirror and say, no, body has not become new. As a matter of fact, some of us are getting older, and we know through experience that if the Lord tarries, every single one of us listening right now, one day will die and go to be with Jesus, right? We all know that. But let's go to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at real quickly at some verses here that the Bible itself confirms that the body has not yet become new, and it will become new, but it has not yet become new, so therefore it can't be talking about the body. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. And verse 23, and we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about the body and when we get a new body. In Romans 8, 23, it says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. That's talking about when we receive a glorified body. So we see that we will one day receive the adoption and the redemption of our body. So that has not taken place yet. Okay, if we go to Philippians chapter 3, in verse 20 and 21, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So here we see that our body is going to be conformed and transformed to his glorious body. When? When Jesus comes back. So we know that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 cannot be talking about our body, because in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, we are a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Obviously, in the body, it has not happened yet. We still are waiting to receive our glorified body. Now, we can go and look at other verses, but I think that's enough. Okay. So let's look at the soulish part of us. Okay. Let's go to James chapter 1. In verse 21, there's many scriptures that we could also go to, but James 1:21, I love this verse. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, a lot of people think this talking about salvation. It's not, folks. He's writing to believers. He's already writing to people who are already believers. Verse 22 says, but be doers of the word. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. So what is that talking about? It says right here, when we receive with meekness, with humility, the engrafted word, the implanted word. You know, the Bible says the word of God is like seed. And what do you do with seed? You plant it. Where do you plant it? In your heart. It says, you receive with the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Amen. That kind of looks like Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm sure most of us know this passage of scripture that says that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is transform, says it's changing from one state to another. Amen. If we also go to, let me see another verse real here, real quickly. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, it says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. So here we see that in our souls or in our minds, okay, we are not yet made perfect. We know in part right now. That's why we need to be transformed. That's why we need to receive with meekness the implanted word so that we can find out more about who Jesus is, more about what he's done on the inside of us, more about what he's done for us, more about his promises. And so we can start to get our minds set on the things of God, and we start to think the way that Jesus thinks, start to think the way that God wants us to think. We no longer think the way that we used to think, and because we're thinking the way that the Word says, and we're believing what the Bible says, we're believing what God says, we're believing what the Spirit says, we are spiritually minded. We have our mind set on the spiritual things of God as being more real than even this natural physical realm. The Bible says that when we're spiritually minded, it brings life and it brings peace. In other words, we start to see the salvation of our souls here on this world, not in the next world. Now, we will never see the total transformation of everything about our minds until that day when we receive a glorified body. Amen. We're going to have a brand new body. It's going to join with our spirit. So just by process of elimination, if you follow that logic, since we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, and in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We see that the body has not yet become new. That's only going to happen in the future when Jesus returns. And our soul is in the process of us renewing it in order for it to realize and to come into agreement with more and more of what the Bible says about us, and it will never perfectly take place until we receive our glorified body. Well, that leaves only one thing that was made new, and that was our spirit. And so now I'm going to talk about the spirit, and I'm going to show you different verses that show us that we, in fact, have received a new man. We have received the Spirit of God who now lives on the inside of us. So let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 24. So now we're in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're in verse 24, and it says, and that you put on the new man, which was created. Notice, past tense. This is talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's a new creation. Notice, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I want you to notice that new man, okay, that new creation, your new spirit, okay? I know a lot of us, we already know the story back in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve sinned and they became, Jesus said in Genesis chapter 2, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day that you eat of it, you will die. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see that they ate of the fruit and that they immediately knew that they were naked and they hid themselves from God. What happened? They became separated. Their spirit became dead. In other words, separated from God. Let me just say, death does not mean ceasing to exist. Death means separated. Okay. I'll show you this. Let's go to one scripture real quickly. Okay. In James chapter 2, verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So when the spirit leaves the body dies. So what happens is that when God says you will surely die, he did not mean that they were going to die instantly, physically. We know Adam and Eve did not die physically. They still lived. If you read it, Adam lived to 900, I think it was, in 30 years old. So he didn't die instantly. But death entered his flesh, and his spirit instantly, somehow, it became separated from that lifeline that he had with God, and he became corrupted. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says that death and sin entered the world through Adam and spread to all men, and thus all men have sinned. Folks, every single human being, because we are descendants of Adam, we have been born with a dead spirit. Not that a spirit doesn't exist, but a dead spirit that is separated from the life of God, okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." What part of you was dead? Wasn't your physical body. It certainly wasn't your mind. In other words, that it didn't exist. It was your spirit. Your spirit was dead in the sins and trespasses that you inherited from Adam, of course, and that outworking of that sin nature was everything you did. But here it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Okay? In verse 5, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." That's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. In verse 5. So in Ephesians 4:24, it says, "And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." We have to see this, folks. Why did God create our new man, or our spirit, in true righteousness and holiness? Okay? Well, he did that so that he could take up residence on the inside of us. We can go to many, many, many verses, but we're going to go to a couple. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 27, it says, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." How many of you believe Christ lives on the inside of you? Okay. How many of you know that Jesus said he'd never leave us nor forsake us? That's in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. How many of you believe that? That God will never leave us nor forsake us? Okay. How many of you know that Jesus now lives on the inside of us? How many of you know that? I'm telling you, I'm sorry, that was Hebrews 13:8 was Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then I think it's in verse 5, it says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." God will never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. If you're a child of God, Jesus lives on the inside of you, and he's not leaving. Amen? You know, we're going to get into this more in detail. It does not mean you can live however you want, because if you want to live ungodly, then I question, does Jesus live there? Okay? There's the balance. Amen? So, let's continue here. I want to show you this, that Jesus lives on the inside of us in our spirit. Amen? That he created a part of us where he could live. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." I want you to notice that. He's one spirit. You're now one spirit with Christ. That doesn't mean you don't exist, okay? But he is now living on the inside of you. He's now in you, and you are now in him. I can go through hundreds of scriptures. There are over 300 places in the New Testament that talks about being in Christ and Christ in us. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, this is throughout the New Testament. This is not just a few verses that I'm cherry picking. It's throughout the New Testament. Christ in you, and you are now in Christ. Those, all of the brethren who were in Christ, all the different church and all the different areas where Paul was writing. Amen. So when you were born again, your spirit was created in righteousness and holiness. Why? So that Jesus could live there. Does that make sense? If Jesus lives on the inside of you, he had to create a place where he could live, okay? And the Bible says you are now joined. If you're joined to the Lord, you are now one spirit with him. So we saw the body's not new. We saw the mind is not new. So that means it has to be your spirit was created new, and all things have passed away and all things have become new, and now Jesus now lives on the inside of you. That's what I'm talking about, folks. We need to be spiritual Christians. We need to live our lives based out of what Christ has done inside of us. Amen? Your identity needs to be who you are in the Spirit. This is the image that we need to esteem. Christ in us. Who is Jesus? Start studying up on who Jesus is. And if Jesus lives on the inside of you, then I want you to think about this. I had to sit there and tell some people this sometime. They're looking at me kind of funny. They're not sure about this. And we're going to get into this, and I'm kind of going a little bit longer than I thought I was, so that's all right. We're going to hit this today. We've got next week as well. But I want to ask you a question. Does the Bible not say Jesus lives on the inside of you? Of course he does. Galatians 4:6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You believe you have the Spirit of Jesus now living on the inside of you? You do if you believe the Bible. If you're a born-again Christian and you read the New Testament, you have to believe. And when you got saved, Jesus came and lived on the inside of you. I have a question for you. Did Jesus stop being who he was when he came to live on the inside of you? In other words, did he lose his power? Did he lose his attributes? Did he lose his ability? Did he lose his holiness when he came to live on the inside of you? Or did you gain something? I'm telling you, folks, we gained a whole lot more when Jesus came to live on the inside of us, a whole lot more than we could ever tell. Now, some people say, well, that's not true, because if that's true, I would feel it. Not necessarily. We're going to get into that. Amen. You don't feel the Spirit with your physical senses. You may at times sense it when you're getting closer to the Lord. Okay, and we're going to get into that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But our identity needs to be who we are in the Spirit. This is the image that we need to esteem. Christ. Stop thinking of self so much. We think it's actually humility, because we loathe ourselves and loathe our mistakes and loathe our sins. No, you need to start esteeming Christ, that he died for your sins. He's made you a new creation. I am no longer that old sinner that I used to be. Jesus changed me. I am now righteous and holy because Jesus created me that way. Folks, I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm talking about believing what Jesus has done. I'm telling you, when you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, you're going to rise up in more victory and more power, because Jesus will stop being hindered from flowing through you. Okay, I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. We're going to read this real quickly. I want you to see this. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, or for those who are saved. Folks, by his one offering, he has perfected forever those who are saved. Are you saved? Then it's because of what he's done, you have been perfected forever. Okay? Don't start asking a whole bunch of questions like sometimes some people, well, what about this and what about that? Just listen, okay? I teach people who want Jesus, not people who don't want Jesus. I don't have time for people who don't want Jesus, okay? That's not my business. I'm trying to teach people who want God and want to walk in the things that God has for them, okay? You're not looking to live as sinful as possible and still squeak in. I'm not talking to those kind of people. I'm talking about those who want to live for God, those who want Jesus to live through them. That's who I'm talking to. I want to stir up people, even if you have never understood these things. I want you to start seeing what Christ has done on the inside of you and start to believe these things. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 23, it says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. I want you to notice, your spirit was made perfect. You didn't do anything to make yourself perfect in God's eyes. He had to do a miracle of the new birth. He had to make you new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If anyone's joined to the Lord, he's one spirit with him. Put on the new man, which was created in true righteousness and holiness, according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Folks, this is some awesome, awesome stuff. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. Colossians 2. In verse 10, let's look at verse 9. It says, for in him, talking about Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How many of you believe there's lack in Jesus? Well, nobody. Well, don't you know that same Jesus now lives on the inside of you? Okay. He did not lose who he is. You gained who he is. I did not say you are him. I said you have him. If you are him, there's nothing for him to leave. You are him. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It shows that you're not him, but he lives on the inside of us. Amen. And you gained him. And if you keep your eyes on him, you'll walk just as him. Look at verse 10. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I want you to see this. It says you are complete in him, not you are inadequate. You need to get more. No. The Bible says you are complete in Jesus. You know what that word complete means? It means filled to the top with no extra room left for anything else. Have you ever poured water in a glass and you pour it until it gets to the very, 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 very top and it's kind of just wobbling there? And one more drop would cause water to flow out, but it's just wobbling. You can't even put one more drop in there. If you put one more drop, water will overflow the rim of the glass. That's the picture here, folks. That's the picture. You are complete. You are full. You are perfect in Him. Notice it's in Him, folks. And He's now in you, who is head of all principality and power. So your spirit is now complete in Him. Galatians 4:6 says He poured forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. So your spirit is now joined to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17, you saw that. Whoever is joined to the Lord is now one spirit with Him, folks. Folks, I'm not teaching anything weird. I'm not teaching that you are God and all that, you know, Eastern, all kinds of stuff. I'm not talking about that, folks. I'm talking about Jesus has created a place so that He Himself could live on the inside of us. And folks, when I pray for people, when I lay hands on the sick, when I laid hands on that pastor, that guy who was heading the orphanage in India, I say it with my own mouth because God has shown me this, and it helps me to keep faith. I say, Jesus, I thank You that You live in me, and You are touching this brother through me right now, and You are healing his leg and causing it to grow out in the name of Jesus. I see, folks, it's Him. He's the power. Peter didn't say, we did this. He said, why do you look at us by our own power of godliness? We made this man walk. But what did Peter say? He said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we give you. What did they have? Jesus. They had Jesus himself, and so do you if you're born again. Amen. Now, I could go through a lot of other verses, and we can keep going, but we're running out of time today. But what I want to leave with you today is this, okay? I want to answer the question that some people may be saying right now. Well, Brother Sean, if that's true, if what you're saying, if I had the same power right now, you know, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Do you realize you have the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling in you if you're a child of God? I don't know about you, but that sounds like a lot of power. So how come we don't feel it? It has nothing to do with feeling, folks. I'm going to show you this right now. Let's go to John chapter 3. And let's look at verse 6. This is Jesus speaking. And let me tell you, I believe what Jesus says. I believe he knows what he's talking about. And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. A lot of times we read this and we don't catch what Jesus is saying. Folks, flesh and spirit are not the same. Okay? You have to be born of the spirit. You have to be a new creation, something that only God can do. It has nothing to do with the flesh. Your flesh does not sense the things of God unless your soul is in line with the things of God and you sense it in your body through your soul because you're – now I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to show you this right now, that there's no connection between the body and the spirit except the soul. And so we saw that a little bit in John 3:6. Okay. Originally, the way that God created mankind and through the new birth, it's happened again. But originally, the way that God created it, your spirit and your soul work together. Okay? The problem is that when the spirit died, in other words, became separated from God through Adam, that was no longer a dynamic, and all man became was a dead spirit, in other words, separated from God, relying on their own bodies and their own mental capacity to understand everything going around them. That's why they never knew there were demons. Does that make sense, Shannon?
Yes, sir.
Demons are spirits. You can't tell demons through just natural things. Yeah, you can sense them if they take over, but they can be standing right next to you.
That's right.
Angels can be right next to you, and you don't even know it. Why? Because you can't perceive spiritual realities with only fleshly tools.
Preach.
Your eyes, your five senses. The only way that we know the spirit is through the Word of God and through the Holy Ghost. Through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The only way you know who you are is by reading the Word of God. And so when the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you, you don't check your feelings. You don't check your senses and say, I can't be true because I don't feel it. If I stick my finger in the wall socket, I'd feel that power. Folks, we're not talking about that. This is not natural. This is spiritual. The only way that you come in contact with the Spirit is through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I've discovered that the Spirit of God, his preferred method, okay, is to illuminate his written word. Why? Because his written word never changes. Amen. And he's already given it to us. Yes, he speaks to us. Yes, he leads us. Yes, he can prophesy through members to the church. But what I want you to see is that I want you to think of the mind as like a valve or a tap that's on your faucet or a tap in your kitchen. Okay. We all realize that there's water in the pipe. Do you see the water in the pipe when the tap is closed? No. But you believe it's there. What do you do when you want a glass of water? You turn the tap and you let the water flow. The same thing is that in your spirit, we have to believe that Jesus now lives there. You have the same spirit and the same power that raised Christ from the dead now living on the inside of me. I am now joined to the Lord. I am not separate from the Lord. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I have a part of me that's a new man where Jesus now lives, who was created by God himself to be truly righteous and truly holy. I am complete in Christ. Nothing else needs to be added. So all of these temptations that we're missing something and we're trying to go get something that the Bible says that we already have, and I'm going to show you this next week. And we just frustrate ourselves doubting what the Bible says we already have. And all we have to do is learn how to renew our mind. And the renewing of the mind is like turning the valve, turning the faucet on, and letting the life and the water of the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us and the power of God flow through us unhindered because we have our minds renewed, which means we have the valve open. I don't know, folks. I don't know if that makes sense to you. That makes sense to me, and I hopefully this is coming across to you. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said it like this: "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." No wonder the Bible says that he who is in the flesh cannot please God. No wonder the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man cannot perceive the things of the Spirit of God, for the things of the Spirit of God are spiritually discerned. In other words, they are discerned by the Spirit that's in you. Amen. I could keep going on and on and on, but we're running out of time tonight, so I'm going to have to pick up this next week.